Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, July 4th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Sally Cooper. Sally grew up at Mountain Brook Baptist, and now she's a young professional living in Nashville. And she was kind enough to come back and record with us. We look forward to hearing more, Sally, about your life, your ministry, and your faith at the end of the podcast. But first, read God's word for us today.
Thank you for having me. The first passage today is 2 Peter 3, 1 through 11. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters, also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. I love the second passage we're reading. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan from Luke 10, 25 through 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after them,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Our last passage for today is Proverbs 4, 1 through 2. "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching."
Thank you so much, Sally, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. We want to know a little bit more about you. I know that you grew up at Mountain Brook Baptist, but tell everyone about your family and where you grew up.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. So my name is Sally. I have an older brother, Lee, and a younger sister, Lizzie. My family joined Mountain Brook Baptist when I was in the first grade. I got baptized with my brother by Dr. Mobies. I grew up in Birmingham, went to Crestline Elementary School, Mountain Brook Junior High, Mountain Brook High School. The church has been such a big part of my life. I worked in the CLC for co-op for 2 years in high school. And then every summer I worked at Summer Days in high school, which is the daycare for the school-age children. My aunt and uncle go here, and my cousins Wade and Alice. And then my grandparents just joined a few years ago. So that has been really fun to have them here as well.
Yes, your whole family is wonderful. Share with us some of your hobbies and interests.
I love to exercise. I've recently joined an exercise class in Nashville that I love going to as part of my routine. I love playing mahjong and pickleball. And in the summers, I love to read. Recently, something new I've started enjoying is needlepointing, which has been really fun.
Where did you get into needlepointing?
I went to visit one of my college friends in Charleston, actually, with our moms, and they took us into a needlepoint store, and the rest was history. One of my good friends from college, a different friend, loves to needlepoint, so she kind of taught me, showed me the ropes, and now it's something that I love to do in my free time.
What are you working on currently?
An ornament of a carnival tent.
Oh, and what does that mean for you?
It was what was in the store.
I love that. It doesn't have to have a meaning.
That's cute colors.
That's cute colors. I love that. Mahjong. You mentioned Mahjong. I know your mom teaches Mahjong. In fact, she taught for Mount Brook Baptist. I don't know if she told you.
Yes.
Is that where you learned?
Yes. She taught me. She taught for almost a year probably before I ever learned. And now it's something that so many of my friends know how to do. I play with my roommates all the time. It is so fun. But yes, I did learn from my mom.
Here's a get to know you question. What makes you tick?
I would say what makes me tick is connecting with people. I just love being around people. I talk pretty much all my thoughts out loud. I don't take myself super seriously, so it's fun to be around people that love to laugh.
And where did you go to college and what did you major in?
I went to Ole Miss. It was the best 4 years of my life. The community there was just incredible. And I made friends that I will be friends with for the rest of my life. They are just awesome, awesome people. I majored in elementary education. It was definitely something that I had been interested in for a long time. My mom's a teacher. My grandmother's a teacher, or was a teacher. And I felt it in my heart probably from first grade on that I wanted to be a teacher. I shadowed an occupational therapist, shadowed a dietitian, but I just kept coming back around to teaching.
And that's what you do currently, correct?
Correct.
In Nashville, Tennessee. How did you make your way to Nashville?
Well, I actually thought for a little bit that I might maybe want to move to the Dominican Republic when I visited Ann Payton Baker there. I thought I would want to go teach there, move there. I did do that in the summer, one summer, and then a little bit over a Christmas break. And then as graduation got closer, I kind of started thinking more staying in the country for now. And one of my good friends who also went to Mount Brook Baptist, Ella Grace Bowers, told me she took a job in Nashville. And I knew I would love to live with her post-grad. So I decided, okay, maybe I'll go there too. And that's kind of how I decided.
Did you have a job before you decided to move?
No, not have a job, but I knew being a teacher probably would be pretty easy to get one because there's a shortage right now.
And so we want to hear a little bit about your school and maybe what you enjoy about teaching.
So my school has been awesome. I really did not know what kind of district I was getting into. I just landed at a really awesome district and a really awesome school. It's actually, this past school year was the second year of it being open. I was just a first-year teacher. I just finished my first year. But the principal's awesome. The community is awesome. I had the best second-grade team who taught me so much and gave me opportunities to lead, even being a first-year teacher. It was just a really awesome school year. One of my favorite things about being a teacher is how my class is kind of like my little family, and we just have such good community and start off not really knowing each other, make so many memories, and learn a lot together.
So as a connector, as someone who likes to make these connections, how do you see that aspect of who God made you to be coming out in your classroom?
One thing that I didn't realize I had as much of an impact on as I did is the student's sense of belonging. So since it's a new school, a lot of students are still moving into the city, and just giving them a safe space, letting them know that I'm their friend too, and making people feel comfortable is something that I really like to do. And I do feel like it's a gift God has given me. So that's definitely a gift that I was able to use this school year.
Yes, I'm so thankful that you're doing work that helps people flourish, because that's what we're about as believers, is helping others flourish. Now, what do kids learn in the second grade? What is the curriculum?
It's a lot more intense than I thought. They are, we started a little bit of multiplication, but one of the big things that second graders in Tennessee learn is like three-digit addition and subtraction. So
three
my
digits.
Kids can do 986 minus 742, and they know how to do it quickly. So I was pretty impressed. And then in English, they're able to read a book, have an essay question, gather evidence from the text, and write a paragraph with a topic sentence, conclusion sentence. Kind of crazy, but there's some smart kids.
What do you do in the classroom to keep it fun?
We do a lot of review games like Kahoot. They were able to work their way up for different rewards for following directions, trying their hardest, not talking while I'm teaching. And one of the rewards that they earned was me doing the worm for the whole class. So they loved that.
Is this one of your hidden talents, Sally Cooper?
I think it is one of my hidden talents, yes.
I wish we could see this podcast right now because I would ask you to get down and show us. I guess I can ask, how did you learn the worm?
Oh, I think I was in like kindergarten or something. I just did it ever since somebody at my old church, I'm pretty sure, taught me on like a parents' night out. I don't remember. So funny.
Let's transition into talking more about things of faith. How did you come to faith in Christ? And what are some of your favorite verses in the Bible?
I came to faith in Christ. Well, I grew up in a Christian household. I was always going to church on Sunday. I feel like I remember a specific moment when I was probably 5 or 6 years old at VBS asking the Lord to come into my heart. I feel like I started to grasp that more. Obviously, as I got older, it really became my own in high school and then even more through college, sophomore year especially. Things changing, learning more. It's time for me to be my own person and make my own decisions for myself and who I wanted to be. And that's when I really was able to cling to the Lord and let him give me guidance instead of relying on myself.
And did you come to a favorite verse during that season?
Yes, I've had a lot of favorite verses throughout different seasons of my life. My favorite one right now probably is Psalm 62:2. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. I love this verse right now because the he alone is my rock and my salvation. It's easy with a lot of things going on for me to start putting my faith and my identity in other things, like how well I'm doing at my job or meeting new friends, how busy my social schedule is. But really, he alone is my rock and my salvation. All the other things are great, but none of them really are important. My salvation really only comes from the Lord. And that's something that I've been really working on to remember and keep in my heart.
Amen. A connected question is, could you tell us about a time or a season when you sense the nearness of God?
Really, in this past year of graduating from college, I've just been amazed at how I moved to a random city, got in a random district, a random church. One of my roommates was, quote, random. We had a mutual friend, but it just has been so evident that it was not random at all. I'm exactly where I was supposed to be, and just his hand is at work through all of the things that I go through and will go through. And I've just felt him really taking care of me this past year.
One of the ways he takes care of us is by the community around us. We'd like to know more about your roommates.
Yes. Yeah, so my roommates have been one of my biggest blessings in this past year. Ella Grace Bowers, the one that I just talked about, we grew up in Mount Brook Baptist together. And then one of her other good friends from Auburn, Emily Glaze, is my other roommate. And they have just been such an instrumental part of making this first year out of college, everything I could have hoped for.
Do you guys all go to church together, or are you in a Bible study together, or how do you encourage one another in faith?
So we actually all go to different churches, which has been really cool to be able to talk about the sermons on Sunday afternoon, or maybe we'll meet up for lunch. We are in a Bible study together, which has been another one of my favorite things about Nashville. There's a Bible study of a bunch of SEC girls right out of college, and we meet every other Tuesday and are going through a book about Galatians right now.
And so do you talk about Galatians and football?
Yes.
Is that what SEC means? Like SEC teams?
Yeah.
SEC schools?
They've recently graduated from an SEC school, yeah. Just kind of like local-ish to the area. But that's been a really sweet community too. And we do. My roommates are also in that Bible study with me, which has been really fun.
Okay. What is one challenge or observation that you saw in the scriptures that you read today that you would share with us?
I would say the Luke 10 passage about the Good Samaritan. I've always loved that story. I specifically remember it from a video I watched when I was little. I want to say it was VeggieTales. I'm not positive, though. But living in Nashville, there is such a need for helping others. The homeless community is really large, so this story resonates with me now more than it ever has before. I've been made aware this year that it's not really a choice to go love others. It is something that Jesus commands of us. And not just thinking about my needs, I need to be aware of what other people around me need, like the Good Samaritan was.
Speaking of Nashville, I know that you have a daily commute every day, and your mom told me that you listen to the podcast on your way to school. That makes me so happy. And I'm wondering how we can pray for you as you commute and also for other teachers as you think about going back to school within a month and a half.
Yeah, so I love listening to the podcast every morning on my way to school. It's the first thing I put on when I get in the car. I have about a 35-minute drive there. The way home can sometimes be longer, but yeah, I listen every day, and it has been such an instrumental part of me just getting my head on straight for the day. One way you could pray for the teachers at my school is and everywhere is just to have endurance, as the first semester can sometimes be a little slow and overwhelming, and going from having a group of students that we knew so well to having a fresh group and maybe missing some of our old students, but then also obviously growing to love our new students. And then we also will have 3 new people joining my second grade team. So pray for a healthy, encouraging environment, please. That would be great.
So does that mean you guys are growing so much that you have to have 3 new teachers?
We are growing so much. One teacher's leaving, so one person's replacing her, and then we have 2 growth positions.
Wow.
I know.
One thing I've heard said is all work is God's work, meaning that whatever we do, we can do God's work there. How have you found that teaching integrates ministry?
Any job that deals with people, which is pretty much all of them, has a chance to impact people and show the love of Christ through your attitude and the way you relate to the people you're around. I was in a Bible study this past winter that went through the book of Ruth, and I found such a correlation between the book of Ruth and teaching in a public school, where Ruth is the only book of the Bible where God is not named directly. And in a public school, I can't talk openly about my faith, but it's just so obvious that his hand is at work in it all. And I was unaware of how much impact I had on these kids' spirits, kind of just the way they feel about themselves and the way they're going to treat other people. So it's been a really great lesson for me of giving love, even when it's hard, and remembering that the way I act and treat them and treat their friends and their classmates is a model for how they will treat other people too. So it's definitely been a good way of teaching me that I can lead by example, even if I can't directly say the Lord's name.
And I want to hear more about your church there. What is the name of your church, and what are some of the things that you have appreciated about it?
My church is West End Community Church. I've met a lot of people there who went to the same camp as me, Camp DeSoto, so that's been fun to see some old friends. And then one of my best friends from Ole Miss goes there with me, which has been really fun. She's the grade older than me and also a teacher in the same county. One thing that I love about my church is I joined a Bible study that has women of all ages. So the oldest person in my Bible study has 2 grandchildren, and then me, a few other girls my age, where we were the youngest in the Bible study, and I was just able to learn so much from the women of all ages and all different walks of life. So that's what I loved. And then I also love, I feel like my church has really great outreach to the Nashville community. There's this thing called Shower Up, where they bring a portable shower to Tent City, which is where a lot of the homeless people live. And that's one of my favorite things I've done with my church, is getting to serve and build relationships with the homeless community in Nashville.
We're so excited that you have continued to grow in your faith in Nashville. And we know that Mount Brook Baptist was a foundational place for you as well. Share with us about that foundation of faith.
One of the most important things in my upbringing was definitely the Mount Brook Baptist youth group. There were just so many people that poured into me. Mary, Hayden, Courtney, Meredith, Julia, Lane, Amy, and then Tim and Lauren. And just being in such a strong youth group, it kept me close to the church. My parents weren't ever making me go. It was something I genuinely loved to be a part of. And just being around people older, a little older than me, a little younger than me, people that were different from me, but we all were just doing such fun things together. And it was always just good, wholesome fun that I knew I could count on. Even if I went without any of my friends, there was always someone there I could talk to. And then I would say that the youth group really taught me going forward what kind of people I want to seek out and look for to make my community.
Sally, it has been such a pleasure to have you back in Birmingham and to have you read for the podcast. And we thank God for your ministry in the school system in Nashville. We're thankful for all teachers. And as we end, I want to pray a prayer over you and over other teachers as they go out to serve. Will you pray with me? Father, we are encouraged by the testimony of our sister, Sally Cooper, I'm thankful for the ways that you have used Sally as an instrument of your love and peace in my life, and you have used her as a connector at Mountain Brook Baptist. We're thankful for the testimony that she has continued to find Christian community wherever she is, and we pray for her church in Nashville. We pray, Lord, for teachers everywhere as they approach the fall, for their new group of students that come in, that they would see them with fresh eyes and know that you are at work in their midst. We pray for a healthy and encouraging environment and for endurance, because the first semester and getting started back can be very difficult. Lord, help the teachers who are listening to this podcast to know that they are living in order to help others flourish, and that their work, whether they can say the name of Jesus or not, is the work of ministry. Now bless and keep them, Lord, and make your face to shine upon them. Be gracious to them. Bless our sister Sally and protect her, Lord, and continue to use her for your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.